Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you want? If you could have anything in the world right now, what do you want? What would you want? What would you ask for? I think there would be some common things we'd ask for, like maybe, Lord, help us to pay off that credit card debt. Right? Or maybe help me to make friends at my new school. That's what I want right now. Maybe some of you would ask for that pony for Christmas, or all I want for Christmas are my two front teeth. Maybe that's what you would ask for. Maybe you would ask for love. You know, the right man or woman to be your spouse, to care for you. Maybe the one thing that you would ask for, the one thing you want, is for mom and dad to stop fighting. There's a bunch of things we could ask for, and we can ask for these things in prayer. We are invited to. In fact, Jesus tells us to ask. He invites us to ask. He commands us to ask. Ask, seek, knock. That's what Jesus says. And we are currently right now going through a series on prayer. Postures of Prayer is the title of this series. And so we've been talking these past few weeks about the various postures, the way that we stand in our prayers, right? The way that we present ourselves. It could be standing with arms lifted up. We talked about that. Could be like last week what we heard from Pastor Dale, walking. That's a posture of movement, right? Could be kneeling, could be laying prostrate on the ground. There's all kinds of postures of prayer that are referred to in Scripture. We teach our kids to fold their hands, bow their heads, close their eyes. That's a posture, right? And of course, we know that the main thing, the primary thing that our Lord cares about isn't if we stand exactly the right way, but it's the posture of our heart. So today, what we'll be talking about is that posture of receiving, the receptive posture, and what that means to be one who receives from the Lord, and one specifically who asked. This is what our Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, to that person it will be opened. Asking. Jesus thought it was pretty important that we ask. There's a reason that he reminds us, commands us, invites us to ask. And we see this multiple times throughout his ministry where he asks people what they want, what they need. There's one story in John chapter 5 where Jesus sees a man sitting by a pool. Now this pool, the pool of Bethesda, it's a pool in Jerusalem. There's what's called colonnades around this pool. So large Roman columns that are around, and sort of like a porch area and that sort of stuff. And it's elaborate. It's a big pool. In fact, I got to, back in 05 when I was in Israel, I got to see the ruins or where this was excavated and walk down into the, it was pretty cool. And this pool, legend would have it back in Jesus' day, was a place of healing. And so when the waters got stirred up in the in their thinking, when the waters got stirred up by the angels, that if you walked in, if you went into the waters and you had an illness, a sickness, leprosy, or you're lame or blind, or that you would be healed. And so there were gathered around this pool, the pool of Bethesda, kind of camped out there. There are a lot of people with a lot of ailments and sicknesses and diseases and infirmities. One person in particular is this lame man. This man had been lame meaning like he just can't walk, or at least couldn't walk well at the very least. He had been lame, we're told by John, for 38 years. It's a pretty long time to be immobile. And so here he is sitting on his mat around the pool of Bethesda, waiting for an opportunity to slip into the pool when the waters get stirred up. But what's his problem? He can't get in. He's lame. He can't get into this pool to be healed. And so here he is. And what John tells us, that when Jesus went, Jesus knew that he had been here, this lame man had been here for a long time. Now, how did Jesus know this? I mean, maybe it's just divine knowledge. He knew because he's God, and he knows everything. And so maybe that's the way that Jesus knew this man had been there a long time. Or maybe Jesus, in his humanity, just looked at this man, saw he was disheveled, hadn't showered for a while, was unshaven, was unkept, just looked dirty, and maybe he could even smell, and realized, this person has been here a long time. And Jesus went up to this lame man and he asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Kind of seems like a no-brainer, right? He's there at this pool. He's injured. Of course he wants to be healed. And yet Jesus still asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Jesus is God. Jesus knows things. Jesus knows things about this man. And yet Jesus still asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" It's as if Jesus was craving, was wanting, was desiring the response from this man. He wanted him to ask for healing. And of course, what we see, Jesus heals this man. He tells him to take up his mat and go his own way. Thanks be to God, Jesus performed many miracles during his 3-year ministry. But Jesus really, really, really wants people to ask. And he invites us to ask for things. Why is Jesus so adamant that people ask? A couple reasons why, not why he asks, or not why he does this, not why he's adamant. First of all, he doesn't want people to ask because if we ask in the right way, there's a certain magic formula that if we just say the right words, that God has to respond to our asking. He's like a genie in the bottle. We rub it and we get our 3 wishes. That's not it. God's not a vending machine where we just put in a little bit of money and God gives us what we ask for. That's not where Jesus is going. That's not how this whole thing works. Also, Jesus doesn't ask us or invite us to ask because God is some manipulative monster standing up there. He's like, "I want to hear you ask, you lowly peon. Ask me what you need. I want you to be humbled I want to show my power. That's not it at all. And it's not that God doesn't know our needs already. He made us. He sees us. He's with us. I mean, Jesus, when his incarnation came down into this world, he experienced the brokenness of this world. He not only sees the needs of people in this world, but he's experienced it for himself. He knows that we need food. He knows that we need his word. He knows that we need love and relationships and those sorts of things. God already knows what you need. So why does Jesus tell us to ask? It's all about the relationship. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, after he tells us to ask, seek, knock, he gives an illustration, a metaphor, to explain kind of where he's going with this. And it's a relational metaphor. He says this: which one of you, if you're a father and your son comes to you or your daughter comes to you and asks for bread, are going to give him or her a stone? If asked for a fish, are going to give him or her a snake? No. Of course you're going to give your children what they ask for, what they want. How much more will your Father who is in heaven, who's perfect — Jesus slides in there, you're evil, right? Okay. If you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does our Father in heaven, who is perfect and who loves us, does he want to give us good things as well? The illustration he uses is an illustration between parents and children. It's a relationship that's existing. Jesus invites us to ask because he's inviting us into a relationship with God in heaven. Part of relationship is conversation. It's talking to each other. Spouses know this. Children and parents know this. I called my folks last night. I apologize because it was late East Coast time, Eastern Standard Time. It was 9 o'clock, but they were just glad to hear from me. No one — they didn't say anything like, "Oh, you know, we don't want to talk to you right now." No, we had a nice conversation. That's part of our relationship, is talking to each other. Jesus invites us to ask God in heaven because he is inviting us into a relationship with God the Father. In the Small Catechism, Martin Luther, in his explanation of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," right? In his explanation of that, Luther says this: "We pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize that God gives us our daily bread, one, and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving." Two things. We realize God gives us everything, and we thank him for the things that he gives us. It's all about that relationship. These past few weeks, we've been babysitting a little boy, 5 months old. His name is Finn. Super cute. And that whole arrangement — and this is, I could tell you more about this another time — but that whole arrangement is a answer to prayer as we ask for God's provision. This setup came, and so Eden can homeschool our boys and can care for this little boy in our home while she's doing that, and it's been super sweet. Isaac, would you agree? He's a sweet boy, right? Like, it's pretty cool to see Isaac and Asher caring for this little boy and loving. I mean, he's super super sweet, and we love him to death. He is very very just easy baby to deal with, but he's relatively helpless, right? He's 5 months old. He is just now at this moment learning how to roll over, and he's learned to roll over, and he's almost got it down so he can roll back. So from back to stomach, and then stomach to back, and it's cool. And you know, we're encouraging him. Come on, just move your arm a little bit, dude. Yeah, you got this. All right, good. And it's sweet. But other than that, like, he's pretty helpless, except for the fact that he can ask. Now, obviously, the way he asks is a little different than maybe the way that you and I would ask. He doesn't have full-formed sentences, but he can cry, and he's not a huge crier, but when he has needs, when he needs to be changed, when he needs to be fed, when he's ready for a nap, when he's stuck under one of his toys and is frustrated because he can't get out from, he cries, and thereby he's asking, and we help him, and we give him, even gives him, what he needs. And you know what happens in the midst of that? As he asks and asks and asks, and as we're able to provide and care for him, a relationship. And we love this boy. It's only been a few weeks, and he's been with us, and we love him. And the relationship is growing. How much more so does God the Father love you? And he's just inviting you. Jesus is inviting you to ask. And we know that when we ask in prayer, when we ask God the Father for things, because God is all-knowing, he knows the future, he knows our present, knows the past, and because God is all-loving, because of those things, as a good father, when we ask him, he can respond in three ways. Yes, wait, or no. And the answer, it almost isn't the point. The point is the asking, the relationship. Sometimes God says yes to our request. I've heard multiple stories where someone is in financial dire straits and they're praying for God's provision. The next day in the mail, unforeseen, arrives a check that happens to be for the exact amount that they need. And I know stories where God has said, you know, you need to wait right now. And he's refining us, helping us to grow in our patience, helping us to grow in our trust of him. And there are times when God, because he's loving and because he knows best, he says, no, not that one. I know you really, really, really want that Ferrari, but that's probably not the best thing for my kingdom at this moment. Sometimes he might say yes to that. I don't know. So keep asking, right? That's the point. Now, Jesus, part of the reason why he asks us to ask, invites us to ask, is because we don't. We can stand kind of in this posture instead of receiving posture, where we come and ask humbly before God. We can say, no, I'm not going to ask. And then there's a whole bunch of reasons why we don't ask. Maybe we think, oh, it's too small what we want, what we're asking for. I don't want to waste God's time. Or maybe it could be something like, we're too busy. Too busy to ask. Maybe that's your thing. But what I want to focus on, because I think this is more prevalent than maybe we acknowledge, is that we don't ask because deep down inside we like to be in control. And by asking, that is showing that we don't have all our stuff together. We don't have it all figured out. You know, we as individuals, we live in a culture that really lifts up this idea of pulling oneself up by their bootstraps, right? I can do it myself. Like, have you ever tried, like, to literally pull yourself up by your... It can't be done. Like, it's and yet we still idolize this and value this sort of thinking. And don't get me wrong. We should be working hard. I'm not encouraging laziness or mooching off of other people. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it is humbling to ask, and when we ask, it shows that we are in need. It implies those things. And we want to be seen as strong and competent. Asking is humbly. Asking for help. Think of that elderly person who for so many years was successful in life, was the helper, providing for those around, was successful in business. And now, in the late stages of life, they have to ask for a lot of help. And it's embarrassing, and it's humbling. It's humbling to ask. Maybe you've been in a position where you've had to ask for a raise. Like, you're looking at your bills, and you're looking at your paycheck, and this isn't adding up. And so you go to your employer and say, can you help me out? Here's my situation. It's humbling to ask. It's humbling to ask for forgiveness when we've done wrong. Not only individually is it humbling to ask, but congregationally. We put a high value, and this is just another way of looking at pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. But congregations, churches, put a high value on being self-sustaining, right? That we have enough that we can make it on our own. And again, I am not encouraging laziness. I do not think congregations should perpetually be living off of life support from those around them or whatever, you know, the district or whatever the case may be. And yet, hey, life is hard. And there are realities. As many of you know, most of you know, Summit Mission Alliance is something that, by God's grace, I have helped work with other church people to put together. It's an organization where we are intentionally working with other congregations in the Colorado area and beyond in order to plant missionaries. But so mission is one of the things that we focus on. But the other thing I want to focus on at this moment is the alliance part of things. Here's the reality. Sometimes congregations are in a strong place where we can start to feel like, hey, we're self-sustaining. And it's exciting to think about, hey, maybe we can help out planting other churches, other missionaries in the area. I think CLC, Christ Lutheran, is close to that right now. Like, we're in a pretty healthy spot financially. But that hasn't always been the case. Not so many years ago, and CLC was in need of help. And you know what happened? Other churches helped when CLC asked, and it's beautiful. And and now we're in a position where we can bless other congregations and other areas that need help. And there may be a day when Christ Lutheran again is in a position where we need to ask for some help. Having that relationship between congregations is the way that the Lord provides for us when we ask. We are part of the Summit Mission Alliance. We're building bridges in mountain communities, and we're here to support other congregations and to be supported in our time of need. Jesus invites us to ask. And Jesus doesn't just sit on high telling us what to do, but he does it. He leads by example. He spent his earthly life asking. He was regularly in prayer with the Father. He would ask for the Lord to provide for him. Specifically, I'm thinking about when Jesus was for 40 days out in the wilderness, going hungry, fasting, and he asked for the Lord's provision, both food and the Word of God. Jesus asked. Jesus, before he called his disciples, his followers, Jesus went up on a mountain and spent a night asking in prayer. Who do I call? Who should follow me? Jesus spent time with the Father asking where he should go next. He wanted to see the Father's will and do that in his life. He asked for the Father to protect his disciples because he loved them. He cared for them. And Jesus, he asked and he knew what it was like to be told no. He asked right before his crucifixion three times, take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. Take this cup. Is there another way? And the Father says, I love you. I know this isn't hard. This is hard. But this is the way of salvation for the world. And Jesus, because he has a perfect relationship with God in heaven, he goes through, he follows through with what God's will is. He goes to the cross, he dies our death so that we can have his life, so that we can have a relationship with the Father, so that we can ask for our needs. Jesus created us. Jesus gives us salvation. Jesus gives us eternal hope. And so we can ask him. So here are the things that I would encourage you today to ask for in prayer. This is the posture that I'd encourage you. I want you to think about daily bread. When we think about the Lord's Prayer is sometimes seen as highfalutin, right? A lot of times when we hear it, it's in the old King James language with these and thous, and it sounds churchy, right? But you see what Jesus was doing when he gave the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, to his followers. He was ripping it out of that stained glass sanctified world, and he's placing it here on earth in the midst of our brokenness. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And right in the middle of the prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, even in the King James, that's a pretty simple, pretty small request. You know, Larry's translation is, Lord God, give me lunch today. It's not only okay to ask for small things, but God loves it. God loves it because he loves you, and he loves to hear for you. So I don't know what small things or big things, whatever they are, that God has placed on your heart. But ask. Ask specifically. God loves to hear from you. May we be a people who regularly pray to our Father, expecting to receive, knowing that God loves us. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we'll talk about intercessory prayer. And the posture is side by side with another hand on their shoulder. So we'll talk about that then.